Welcome to the Contracting Officer Podcast. It's not just for contracting officers. If you work anywhere in the government acquisition world, this podcast is for you. Today, we're talking about a clause that impacts the services contracting world, non-displacement of qualified workers. This episode is brought to you by Skyway Acquisition. Become a Skyway community member and make it easier to navigate the complicated world of government contracting. Because Skyway's team of former contracting officers will help you gain context. As a member, you get unlimited access to the Ask a Contracting Officer forum and hundreds of articles, webinars, and training modules. Go to skywaymember.com to get started with a personal membership, because without context, you're likely overlooking problems that you don't see. Okay, let's get started with our conversation about non-displacement.
When I was a contracting officer, one of my customers was on a service contract. He says, wouldn't it just be easier to keep the same contractor? Why do we have to keep competing this? It seems kind of silly to change them out every couple of years once they really get good at what they were doing.
Yeah, that's true. It'd be so much easier just to keep the same supplier we have a lot of times, but that's not how it works in government contracting.
In general, the government's in the business of competing stuff, competing contracts. And there are many, many ways to do that, which we have lots of episodes about, or they have to explain why they didn't compete it. Because just because the contractor has kind of hit their stride, everybody wants to keep them, it's not an exemption.
We've got a bunch of episodes about that. Hey, it's 5 years. They're getting really good. Time to compete it.
Clearly, we can't allow that to continue.
Right. Yeah,
it's a bizarre scenario.
We seem to talk about this most in terms of service contracts. And for service contracts, there's a nuance to it. Sometimes, or oftentimes, the company, the prime contractor, changes when you recompete a contract, but the people doing the work stay the same. It's sometimes called incumbent capture. In other words, the new contractor captures the incumbent employees, and we'll have another episode for that. So that's what we're not going to talk about today, even though it seems similar. Before we get into what we're really going to talk about today, let's stop and say thanks.
I'll say thanks this week to Wanda Wallace. Wanda's the director of contracts at Meridian Management Corporation. They're in the Jacksonville, Florida area. Wanda gave me phenomenal feedback on our podcast. I mean, she explained how she found us, how she uses the content and the context, and why she likes it. Here's what I mean by really good feedback. She appreciates that we do a wrap-up at the end of each episode and give the government and industry perspective on why a specific topic is important. So I want to thank Wanda for taking the time to share her perspective, because it helps us make government contracting better one contract at a time.
Thanks, Wanda. I already introduced what we aren't going to talk about today, so let's talk about what we are going to talk about today.
It's a heck of a segue.
We're going to talk about a specific clause, FAR 52-222-17, non-displacement of qualified workers. And no, this isn't FAR time, but I had to say that up front to tell you what we're going to talk about. This deals with incumbent contractors and their employees. We covered the advantages and disadvantages of being the incumbent in episode 199, called The Crucible of the Incumbent.
This approach of a competitor recruiting the current contractor personnel, it's a common strategy, and it's usually an effective way to make sure we have some continuity between the old contractor and the new one.
But the clause we're going to talk about today makes it more than a strategy. It makes it a requirement. So in many contracts, you have a strategy that you're going to recruit current employees of another company that are doing the work when you win. It's not a guarantee that they're going to come to your contract, but that's your win strategy. That's one of the ways you're going to guarantee that you have the experience and the trained people that you need to do the job. For service contracts, this clause makes it very, very likely that you will hire the employees of the incumbent contractor. It doesn't guarantee it, but it makes it almost for sure that that's going to happen. We don't want to get real deep into the details of service contract labor standards, but we're talking about service employees, and this is any person engaged in the performance of a service contract other than people employed in bona fide executive, administrative, or professional capacity. So we're not talking about professional employees. We're talking about the service employees. You could think of this as blue collar and white collar in a very broad and generic way. This is all about the blue collar side of the work. This is where we would usually segue into FAR time. But before FAR time, we have a new time, executive order time.
Yeah, this started out when the president signed executive order, and if you're curious, 13495 in January of 2009. It was called non-displacement of qualified workers under service contracts. And it effectively requires the qualified workers on a federal service contract who would otherwise lose their jobs as a result of competition or the expiration of a contract get right of first refusal with the successor contractor. And I'm going to quote this line. A successor contractor may not hire any new employees under the contract until this right of first refusal has been provided. In other words, you have to offer the jobs to the people who already have them before you hire somebody else, even offer to hire somebody else.
And that's what I was saying before. It's not a guarantee that you're going to get all those employees, that the new contractor is going to employ everyone. It's not absolute, but it's pretty close. And this applies to a huge range of service contracts. It requires a determination by the head of the contracting agency to waive that requirement. So it's not going to be waived very often. Now, from executive order time to FAR time. In 2014,
5 years later,
it finally made it into the FAR. And it became FAR 52-222-17, non-displacement of qualified workers. It's essentially the same language that was in the executive order. The contractor and its subcontractors shall, there's the shall, except as otherwise provided herein, in good faith offers those service employees employed under the predecessor contract, whose employment will be terminated as a result of the award of this contract or the expiration of the contract under which the service employees were hired, a right of first refusal of employment under this contract in positions for which the service employees are qualified. It's a very long way of saying exactly what you just said about the executive order. You have to offer them a job before you can even think about offering anyone else a job.
And it took 5 years to take it and copy and paste.
Now, the clause is really long, has lots of requirements that we're not going to get into the implementation of. Bottom line, you can look at it as you have to offer the incumbent employees the positions before you can offer them to everyone else. You don't have to employ all of those incumbent employees. If you've proposed that you can do the work with fewer employees, that's fine. But for all the jobs that you are going to open, you have to offer them to the incumbent first. Again, this is the blue-collar side of service contracts. This is service contract labor standards type of work, like maintenance, custodial jobs, motor pool. It's not the professional services side, like the engineering and scientist kind of stuff. Let's talk about the time zones now. When does this apply, Kevin?
You better understand it in the market research zone, the RFP zone, and the source selection zone, because you're getting the employees from the previous contractor. This clause fundamentally influences how the competition is managed. And then in the execution time zones, it's the honeymoon zone. How do we get these people? There's a requirement for the leaving contractor to give a list. Right. Here's all the 10 people I have. So there's a process there. During the performance zone, there's a requirement to show you actually have done this. In the recompete zone, we get to do it all over again because most of these contracts are recurring. They're right. Getting recompeted every 5 years. I mean, maintenance of a base doesn't go away unless the base goes away.
Right.
And if you don't know what the acquisition and execution time zones are, listen to episode 3 and 84.
Like you said, this is important because this clause influences everything about how the acquisition is conducted. Services contracts are a huge portion of the federal budget.
And a lot of those, like I mentioned, are ongoing services. They don't go away. They keep getting repeated.
And that means that this non-displacement clause probably applies. If it's a recompete of existing contract and it's for blue-collar kind of service contract labor standards work, this clause is probably going to be in there. So instead of winning a contract and moving your existing employees onto that contract to do the work, you're winning a contract and managing the transition of all these employees into your company. So it's a different kind of task. It's not so much recruitment as it is this huge human resources mess of bringing all these new employees on at once. This clause is one of those things that only appears in the government contracting world.
If you don't know it's in your solicitation and or contract, you could be walking into a propeller because you don't realize, oh, I can't hire my own people. Nope. Yeah.
Where else in the world are you required to hire the other company's people? Required to offer them jobs.
From the government side, this doesn't come for free. you still have to add compliance work to managing the contract. There's reporting by the contractor. There's managing the list of employees leaving the old contractor and going to the new one. It's not a fire and forget clause.
It requires very timely actions on the part of the government at the very beginning of the contract to ensure that the incoming contractor has all the information they need to offer jobs to all the right people. Then it requires compliance to make sure that all the people that start working are those people, that they haven't substituted. Then it requires record-keeping checking over the performance of the contract. Depending on your viewpoint as a government employee, this clause either ensures that you have a trained and experienced workforce when the transition happens from one contractor to another where you had to compete it, or on the other side, it ensures that the non-performers stay on the job, because whether or not they're the top performers or the worst performers on the existing contract, the incoming contractor has to offer them the jobs.
There's a nuance to that because there are performance metrics on the existing contracts. I get that. But when you simplify this, the clause says you will give the people who have the job first right of refusal at the new job.
Right.
That is not something that normally happens in the private sector.
Right. From the industry side, why should you care about this? If you don't or can't comply, or you can't provide the records and the proof that you've complied, the government can suspend payment on the contract. So you can have these employees working that you have to pay, and you can't get paid by the government unless you've done this right and can prove that you've done this right. So like you were saying, Kevin, on the government side, it adds compliance actions. On the industry side, it adds all kinds of record keeping and reporting requirements on top of all the requirements that you've already inherited because this is service contract labor standards type work. There's a lot of administrative effort involved in this type of contracting.
And it's an oversight project. Let's think in terms of a grounds maintenance contract. The reason there's so much oversight and compliance paperwork, we'll call it that way, is because the person who's doing the grounds maintenance, the government team, the contracting officer, et cetera, they aren't going to see those people. So they're trusting you to make sure they're the same people that were there last time. Well, how do they do that? You got to give them all the paperwork to back it up. Yep. If you don't do that, you don't get paid. That's a heck of a carrot and a stick kind of scenario there.
Industry, when you win this contract and inherit those workers, you inherit the good or bad. If there's performance problems or morale problems or personnel issues on the incumbent side, suddenly those are your problems. Ta-da! You win and you get this mess along with it. An interesting thing from my perspective is the competitive strategy for this type of acquisition, this type of competition. How do you differentiate yourself as a company when the employees are fixed and their wages and benefits are the most part fixed or at least leveled by the statutes and regulations involved here with the service contract labor standards? What is your differentiator? How do you unseat the incumbent if all you're saying is, we're going to change who sends you the invoice, right? Here, government, you're going to get a new contractor submitting an invoice, but all the people are going to be doing the same work for about the same price.
And that's why we could do a whole different podcast episode about the fact that a lot of these are small business set-asides. A lot of these are micro-niched socioeconomic set-asides. The amount of employees that you employ for it is one strategy to do it. Then you have the actual process of managing the contract. There are lots of other variables to them, but they all have very small influence relative to the price is fixed.
Right. There are very few knobs to turn from an administrative standpoint. How low can you keep your overhead costs? That goes into the price that you're able to bill the government. Remember that these service contract labor standards jobs have a wage floor. The government has set the lowest that you can pay blue-collar type employees for these jobs. And like I said, there's a lot of administration involved in making sure that that's happening. But usually price is one of the win strategies. We're going to figure out a way to do this more efficiently by tapping a new labor pool or finding a way to do it for less. If the floor is already set for that, there's not much you can do to go lower than that. Like you were saying, you could figure out a way to do it more efficiently. But at some point for some of these jobs, you really can't do it in the allotted amount of time with less people. So even the number of people it takes to do the job, it's hard to find that differentiator.
And targeting becomes a big part of this because some agencies are notorious for if you want to win, you have to bid at that floor.
Right.
Other agencies are a bit more creative. And so, again, there's all kinds of rabbit holes to take this down.
Let's get out of rabbit hole land and wrap this up.
Rabbit hole landed. Sounds like a chutes and ladders kind of adventure. From the government side, this is one of those only in government contracting things. And I remember when I came across this executive order and thought, wow, that's going to be tough to execute. And the executive order came out 10 years ago. So this isn't a new thing. It's been playing out. It's probably already been recompeted for a couple of five-year contracts. On the industry side, this is a tough area, like we talked about. It's a tough area to differentiate yourself unless you see this coming and you know you've targeted the agency, you've targeted the opportunity, you've targeted. How are you going to do this? And you're familiar with how to manage it. Because if this is your first crack at one of these contracts and you don't know how this clause is going to play out, you may get a whole of employees that you don't know what to do with or that you may not want. Just saying.
Yeah. I love that only in government contracting. If you are a services company that provides janitorial services to commercial companies and you win a big contract to provide those services for, you know, a large company that has a campus full of buildings, imagine if that company said, we'll give you this contract, but you have to hire all the people that are doing the job now. Huh. You might want to hire some of those people. You might need to hire some of those people. But to be required to and to have all your competitors be required to? Only in government contracting.
Once again, I'm going to bring in an example for my son's little league. We replaced the umpire. I'm the president of the league. And we replaced the umpiring organization, the company that provides umpiring services to us. And we weren't particularly happy with the ones that we had. It's hence the reason we replaced them. And as they were coming in, they said, okay, you've got, I think we had like 16 people doing this. He said, of the 16, which ones do you want to keep? And we gave him a list of like four. He said, okay, if you certify these guys, we'd like to keep them. Well, compared that to, we said, okay, these 16 people, some we love, some not so much, but you got to use them anyway.
Right. It
comes just sounds crazy.
Why did you compete in the first place? Because you weren't happy or because you had only in government contracting?
Yeah, that's why this is fun. We should start a podcast called Only in Government Contracting.
Maybe that's what this one's called.
There you go.
All right. I'll talk to you later, Kevin.
All right. See you, Paul.
Okay. That's it for this episode. If you need help understanding the impact of obscure clauses like this, Skyway can help. Visit askskyway.com to learn how. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.